Players ready? Play. It's the 17th of March 2024. Last week I'd left Indian Wells and I was quite despondent. And the US hard court season hadn't really gone particularly well. And I was determined to come to Miami here, ATP 1000 event, and prepare as though it was a grand slam. So I was determined to work hard and come tournament time to be both mentally and physically prepared to play. So I've been true to my word. Not sure I've ever worked so hard in the lead up to a tournament. I've been hitting, I've been running, been in the gym for hours every day. But probably the two main things for me has been playing pickup matches and also watching tennis videos. The videos were of the 15th seed playing well, to sort of get back to good thought, positive thoughts, but also of Novak Djokovic and Jannik Sinner. And I'll talk of those. I'll turn the matches soon, but the watching of the Novak and Jannik videos really helped us. It was quite enlightening to actually go back and sit and analyse. Two stars of the game have very different methods of play. I mean, you look at Novak, I mean, he just works players side to side, forward and back. You know, when the opponent is, you know, too much to one side, he'll just hit a solid shot down the open side of the court and watch a player scramble to try and get to it. And he just never looks hurried. He seems to be at three-quarter pace. He controls the court. Everybody else does all of the running. So if you play that, you need to be mindful of what he's going to do. Jannik has a more set game plan. So it's more obvious to work out, yet very difficult and hard to beat, hence why he's number one in the world. You know, but he'll pound a side of the court, particularly the backhand. You know, hit deep to the backhand, deep to the backhand, deep to the backhand. You hit a short shot in response, and then he'll just belt a winner down the forehand side. And so if you get into a protracted rally with him to the same part of the court, then you've got to be mindful. If you come up short, you're in all sorts of trouble. So you've got to devise a game plan where you don't get into those protracted rallies. Both Novak and Jannik serve really, really well. Can't be number one if you don't serve well. Novak, far more variety, harder to pick. Jannik really has the absolute power. And both of them are very, very good. But it made me start to think about my game plan and my ability to execute. I'm satisfied with my theory, you know, flat, hard to the backhand side, wait for the short ball, attack. It's just the execution that's been lacking, which is pretty important. I talked about hitting partners. There were a number of players arriving at Miami looking for hitting partners, so that was easier to pick up players to hit against. And but I let people know that I wanted to play three sets and I wanted to be a full-scale match. And that suits most, but not all. In fact, I had the unfortunate situation of having to turn down a top 10 player who wanted a hit, and I was really pleased to be asked and flattered and wanting to hit with them. But I made it clear that I wanted to play sets, and that this week I was going to be focused about me. So in another week I would have jumped at the opportunity, but this particular week I actually declined the invitation, which is not something that you would ordinarily do. There were three players who were in the qualifiers and they obliged my requests for hitting. Two of them were David Goffin, who I hit with before the Australian Open and was terrific, and Roberto the DISTA are good. And RBA, the Reserve Bank of America, fascinates me. I mean, he's got to be in his mid-30s now. He's played the same game plan for the last 15 years. He just loves being out there. He just loves competition play. I mean, he rarely loses early in a tournament, but then rarely he's in finals contention. So I looked up his palmares to actually see how he's gone. He actually made a semi-final of Wimbledon a number of years ago, which was his least preferred surface. I wouldn't have predicted that. But on all the other surfaces, it's, you know, fourth rounds or quarterfinals. So, yeah. But, you know, 5 years ago, he was in the top 10. Okay, it might have been ninth, but he was top 10. But he was great to play against because you tell him what you want to do, and he's out there and got a good, tough, hard three sets. So I enjoyed that. But I also needed a different style of play, and Brandon Nakashima helped out. Nice guy. We finish up talking lots of golf in US football, I have to say. He's a LA Chargers man, and he wasn't all that thrilled with my allegiances to the 49ers, but so we call their matches the Miami Super Bowl. But he was great. We played three sets. He's got the modern game. He hits the ball hard, loves his surf. And it was really good for me, and I got a lot of benefit out of playing him. The final player that I actually played matches against was Karen Khachanov. Now, again, when you spend time with these guys, especially away from their entourage and others, you find out what a decent, you know, group of players and people these people are. I mean, they were terrific. And I played Karen, and it was a great hit. I'm sure I benefit more than he did, but I actually benefited more from a conversation over a coffee. She actually said it was a coffee for me. He had some special recovery drink, and he's incredibly fitness focused, so put me to shame in that regard. But he's also had a little bit of a poor run since the Australian Open. But he wasn't that fast. His serve is his barometer, and he'll go back and work on his serve, make sure he gets that right, because if he gets that right, he considers that everything else will just fall into place. So there was an interesting mindset for me. But then I have to say, we also finish up talking about the NBA and the Champions League. He's a Lakers man on the Warriors, and Real Madrid versus Inter Milan. And, you know, again, these people, they just love sport. And they're tennis players, but they're interested in all other sports as well. Point is, I have worked very, very hard over the last week or so. Cementing friendships has been great, it's very important, but it's the work that I've done. I don't think I've worked harder in the lead up to an event. So for the next couple of days, I'll probably do very little tomorrow, you know, stretching, bit of gym work, probably a swim, and then the next day have a decent sort of couple of hours hit in the morning, but then not do too much so that I will be primed and ready to go in a few days' time. Bit of nervous apprehension, so we'll just see how the draw pans out, but at least I feel as though I've done everything to put myself in a position to perform well this week. This is becoming a bit of an extended version, but I'm feeling much better than I felt last week, so I've got a few viewers' questions to get to. One of them is from Phil A, who asked about Nick Kyrgios' standing amongst the Australian greats. I haven't had time to look into it as yet, so sorry, Phil A, but I will get to it in coming weeks, I promise, because it's actually an interesting project. But Dujan and Crawf have both asked similar questions. Sort of to the effect of, are there players on tour that annoy me or antics that put me off? And they gave examples of, you know, players yelling come on after a winner, or raising their arms to engage the crowd, or running to the seat after breaking serve, those sorts of things. But the answer is, not much concerns me about what my opposition player does. I don't think you'd be on tour if you let too much worry you. If someone tries gamesmanship against me, I think they're really wasting their time. But if I had to pick a couple of things that probably do find a bit of annoyance, one would be pace of play. I don't like slow play. I can accept slow play if that's just what the opposition player does. But the ones that frustrate me are when they're losing, they play slow. But when they're winning, they want to go fast and expect you to go fast and to fit in. And I know that shouldn't concern me. I should just be aware of it. But I almost feel like it's unsportsmanlike. So I don't like it. So pace of play is something that I find frustrating. The other one is players who argue with umpires. I mean, every player from time to time will question an umpire. No issue with that, call or fine. Whatever it is, that's okay. Where it frustrates me is the players who won't let it go. They will stand and argue and just repeat the argument and repeat and repeat. They even call out referees, but just they say nothing new after the first, four sentences, but we hear it 16 times. But for me, and also the ones who then want to revisit it when they get to the change of ends, again, that frustrates me. But it frustrates me on so many levels, one of which is it sends such a poor message to juniors playing the game that you can just attack an official. I don't like it on the basis that our umpires are meant to be independent, and it seemed to be placing pressure upon them by abusing, engaging, having a go at them. I just wonder whether it's designed to affect. And the other thing is, most often, the official is right, the player is wrong, but the official being someone that is anonymous, doesn't have the profile, is seen as being in the wrong, where it should be quite the reverse. And I'd have to actually say that there's probably three players currently in the top 10 who fit that bill, and they're not players that have my absolute respect. Yes, they're great players, but I don't respect everything that they do or the way they go about it. Anyway, it's a few days out. Haven't seen the draw as yet. This is a huge tournament for me. So I feel as though I'm prepared. I'm ready to go. Until I see the draw, thank you, ball people. Thank you, Hawkeye.